You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, the four most electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment you are going to find anywhere on the radio. Did you see this story about Max Homa? I want to talk about it later in the show. Max Homa was attempting to qualify for the U.S. Open, which is not this weekend, but next weekend. The BMW Pro-Am's this weekend, by the way. He was attempting to qualify, and apparently, after a round, he and his caddy had a blow up and he fired his caddy in tournament and then ended up having to lug his own bag for 36 holes. Ended up carrying his own golf bag. Now, as a rank and file garbage golfer, yeah, so do I. I get it. So do I. But guys who finish at the bottom of the leaderboard at the U.S. Open stand to make tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I got to tell you, if you said, Rob Brown, you've got to go out there and shoot an all-time great score, and if you do, I'll give you $1 million. You bet your Rudy Patootie that I'm going out there to find somebody who knows that course inside and out to carry my bag so that I'm doing the least amount of strain on myself as possible. I want to talk about this later because, like, there are people online and in this radio studio that are roasting Max Homa for having to carry his own bag and people making a big deal out of it. But I'm also going to suspect those people have never had an opportunity to perform a feat of athletics for a check that had six figures on it. So, like, you can roast them all you want.
Neither of you.
Correct. And if I did, I'd have a caddy. Without a doubt. I want to do the least possible.
But we're saving this, you said.
Well, I'm coming back to this for sure. For sure. Texas said, who has a baby in the studio today? Lonzo keeps one in his computer. For exactly stories like that. And yes, Texter, it also drives me up a bleeping wall.
That's the point. Hello.
I know. Hub City Spartanburger text line 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. Text that number. We'll read it on the air or call that number and get yourself on the air. I want you guys involved with the radio program today. You were very quiet on me yesterday, and I did not appreciate it at all. So don't be today. Bring it.
But you weren't quiet on me, and I appreciate all the welcome backs. I you know, it's fine.
Well, people were worried you died.
Yeah, and you should be concerned because it's not good. But give Rob some love. Apparently he needs some today. I don't know what's going on.
And the show's better with more people on it. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. It is 7:03 in the morning.
You know what? Maybe if you read more texts, people would be more involved.
Okay, Cole. Relax. 7:03 in the morning. You've got a little under 57 minutes until you've got to get your rumpus into the chair at the office and get those passive-aggressive emails responded to. Then you stand up, you walk down the hall, and you do the thing that you love to do the most. And that thing, of course, is talk sports with your coworkers. It's really the only reason you even go to work anymore. Well, don't you worry, because if you don't know what's going on in the world of sports, we got you covered. It's all the stuff we're going to talk about when we do this. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this morning and start talking sports with your coworkers. Ordinarily, these are the three biggest stories in sports. Sometimes they are the three most talked about stories in sports. I think today may be one of those days. So allow us, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd be so kind, to dive right in with item number one. Your NCAA Women's College World Series finals are set. We had our two semifinal games yesterday, Texas and Tennessee, in an all-SEC matchup. The Longhorns get the better of the Lady Volunteers. 2-0 is your final score in that one. They advance to the championship finals. On the other side of the bracket, the reigning, defending, four-time national champions, the Oklahoma Boomer Sooners, find their way out of the championship series. They drop a 3-2 decision to the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. Guns up. Texas Tech with the walk-off 3-2 victory, bottom seven. They found themselves in a slugfest. Dug deep, got that dub. We will start the Women's College World Series on Wednesday, game two Thursday, if necessary. Game three on Friday. We'll take a deeper look at those at that championship finals when we get a little bit closer. Over on the baseball side of things, we had six regionals that required a Monday finish to figure out who was on to the Supers. And we know now. North Carolina knocked off Oklahoma 14-4. Chapel Hill elated last night as their Tar Heels have moved on. LSU was down 5 to the 27-34 Little Rock University. Little Rock, of course, is the Trojans. Sorry, I had to wait for that to load. That's not true. I watched that game last night. Little Rock up 5 on LSU at one point, but a late innings rally from the Tigers get a 10-6 win. LSU is on. Oregon State blanked USC 9-0. I'm sure they took great joy in knocking out their former Pac-12, now Pac-2 rivals. 9-0, Oregon State moves on. Ole Miss falls to Murray State. Murray State gets the 12-11 win. The Racers are on to the Super Regionals. Tennessee, 11-5 winners over Wake Forest. And Miami needed a come-from-behind victory to get past the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. They are on to the Super Regionals as well. So we get set for our Super Regionals, which will start on Friday. Half of them will start on Friday. And then we'll move on to Saturday, game two, necessary game three. And then the rest, the other half, will start on Saturday with, if needed, their finals on Sunday. The Super Regionals square up this way. Miami takes on Louisville. Oregon State gets Florida State. North Carolina takes on Arizona. Auburn gets Coastal. On the other side of the bracket, Arkansas and Tennessee in an all-SEC matchup. The LSU Tigers, with their win, will move on to take on West Virginia, winners of the Clemson Regional. Murray State, out of the Oxford Regional, gets Duke, who won the Athens Regional. And we wrap it up with the Austin Regional, winners of UTSA, taking on the LA winners of UCLA. So there's your Super Regional matchups. Again, half of them start on Friday, the other half on Saturday. And that means the Friday ones will conclude either Saturday or Sunday. The Saturday ones conclude either Sunday or Monday. We will talk a lot more college baseball later on in the week. Let's get to item number two. The College Football Hall of Fame Class of 2026 ballot has been named. We now know our finalists. The National Football Foundation released the ballot yesterday for the class that will be announced next January. There are 79 players and 9 coaches from the Football Bowl subdivision and 100 players and 35 coaches from lower levels. Of the highlight players, we have Mark Ingram, Cam Newton, and Robert Griffin III, all Heisman Trophy winners. Joining them on that ballot are AP National Player of the Year Domagoj Sue. Other players include Iowa's Brad Banks, Colorado's Eric Bieniemy, Oklahoma State's Dez Bryant, Penn State's Kajana Carter, Pittsburgh's Aaron Donald, Marvin Harrison of Cuse, Josh Heupel as a player for Oklahoma, James Laurinaitis from Ohio State, Ryan Leaf out of Washington State, Cal's Marshawn Lynch, Illinois' Simeon Rice, and Florida State's Peter Warrick. On the coaching ballot are Larry Coker of Miami, Gary Patterson is on that list, so is Chris Peterson, Boise State's all-time wins leader, who led the Broncos to 2 undefeated seasons and led the Washington Cougs to the 2016 college football playoff. There is one more story out of this announcement that is very interesting. The National Football Foundation also announced an adjustment to the eligibility criteria for coaches to be considered for induction. The minimum career winning percentage required for coaching eligibility will go from 600, a 60% winning percentage, to 595, 59.5. Why? Because by dropping it from 60% to 59.5%, Mike Leach is now eligible, the former Mississippi State and Texas Tech head coach who passed away in 2022, had a 596 winning percentage with a 158-107 record over 21 seasons at Texas Tech, Washington State, and Mississippi State. Of course, Leach was known for the, the only name I have is the Mike Leach air raid, as well as pulling multiple upsets, won 18 games against top 25 opponents when his team was unranked. So Mike Leach will likely be on the ballot next year. And we will talk more about that later on in the show. But let's get to item number 3. Remember when I was setting this up and I said that ordinarily the water cooler cheat sheet is the top 3 biggest sports stories, but sometimes they're the most talked about stories? Here is one of them. I don't know when the conversation about Shedeur Sanders is going to stop. I assume it's going to be when either A, he turns into the guy Deion says he's going to be, or B, when he washes out of the league. Or I guess C, just becomes a stalwart, longtime number 2 quarterback. We'll find out. But yesterday, Deion Sanders was on the Say What Needs to Be Said podcast hosted by former NFL cornerback Asante Samuel, because everybody gets a podcast now. Deion said that criticism and reports about Shedeur Sanders being unprepared during pre-draft meetings, quote, hurt. He said, quote, "It did hurt, but the Bible says God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. There was some foolish stuff that went on, but that gave them something that they needed. Like that edge that Tom Brady had, it gave them the edge that you had. It gave them the edge that I have. Folks said we weren't going to be nothing, but we had to prove it. It gave them the edge that they needed, both of them." Talking about Shedeur and, of course, his other son, Shiloh, who did not get drafted, but was signed as a UDFA by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Deion said on Logan Paul's podcast, I say that only because I'm obligated to give him credit, that, quote, "When you sit up there and say something like he went into a meeting unprepared, like, dude, Shedeur Sanders, who has had 6 different offensive coordinators, who is still functioning and leveled up every time we brought somebody new in, and you're going to tell me he was unprepared? You're going to tell me he had on headphones? Anybody who knows my son understands he's a professional. He's going to go into a meeting with headphones on? Y'all come on now," end quote. I don't really care. Like, I don't. I'm maybe it's just me. I'm like over the Shedeur Sanders stuff at this point. Shedeur, of course, one of 5 quarterbacks competing for the starting quarterback job of the Cleveland Browns, along with fellow rookie Dylan Gabriel, vets Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and of course Deshaun Watson. But Deshaun is rehabbing from that Achilles tear, so he won't be there. And even if he could be there, the Browns, I don't think, want him there. Anyway, I don't really care anymore about the Shedeur Sanders criticism. The Shedeur Sanders criticism got him dropped from the first round of the fifth. The Shedeur Sanders criticism caused Mel Kiper Jr., I think, to have a full-on aneurysm on TV. But got him dropped from the first to the fifth. And now Shedeur Sanders has an option. Option number one, he can show up in the NFL. He can bust his ass. He can become a very good quarterback. He can make everybody eat crow. Or option number two is he can not do that. And all the reports get proven correct. But I'm going to say this. There is a difference. And I would say this to Dion respectfully. There is a difference between criticism of Shedeur Sanders as a player. I don't think he's got the arm. I don't think he's got the head. I don't think he's got the legs. I don't think he's got the toughness, the strength. Much like we did with last year's Rookie of the Year, Jaden Daniels. Remember all the draft criticism about Jaden Daniels? Oh, he runs dumb. He runs into tackles. He's not smart enough to know when to go down versus when to gain the extra 2-3 yards. Criticism, criticism, criticism. Jaden Daniels went out there, had a hell of a year, led the Washington Commanders to the best season they've had in a very long-ass time, and won the NFL Rookie of the Year award. You have that option to you. But here's the thing. There is a difference between criticism of the player as a player and outright news reports of the things that he was doing and not doing. And while Lonzo loves
were
to
those
point out...
Were those reports confirmed?
I don't know how you would confirm them.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I don't know how you would confirm them.
So are they news reports?
I mean, yeah.
The someone told someone that this happened. Does that make it news? I don't know. It depends on what you consider news.
When you get to a point, and again, no one is beyond reproach, but there are reporters at the top level who have earned credibility, that have earned trust, that have earned respect, and in whomsts reports I trust until they give me a reason not to.
But didn't witness it firsthand, right?
That's so not how reporting works.
It is to a degree. I mean, if you're a war reporter, you're out there in the war, and so you can report firsthand.
Sure.
So there are cases where you can report firsthand, but they're going on their sources. And I don't know. Sometimes maybe sources exaggerate.
I don't disagree with you. And sometimes they don't.
Right.
This here's...
It's so easy to grasp the negative and believe, oh, that absolutely happened. Oh, I could see that. Look at his dad. Look at that. And not think, okay, well, maybe that's not true. Some people like the negative more than believing that the negative may be a lie.
As a bona fide full-time skeptic, I agree with that entirely. I'll tell you what the other side of that coin, though, is. The other side of that coin is every time reporters say think bad wrong. The other side of that coin is no reporters are worthy of trust and respect. No reporters can say, hey, I've got sources who are telling me X. I've looked into it. Here are the evidences that I have found to support this. And so I'm willing to go with this story.
So you're defending the media and you're implying that I don't believe anything that anyone in the media says.
No, what I'm saying is you are dismissive of it outright.
Also, that was specifically at me.
No, that was for sure.
Okay.
But you're not alone. There's an entire...
But that's not true. I do believe that there are honest reporters out there. In the end, I didn't say the reporter lied. I said maybe the source lied. That's what I said.
That is fine. But I would also say this isn't like a story that came from a guy. This was stories like this were being dropped by reporters who covered teams across the NFL. There were teams that had beat reporters talking about this. The only thing I'd say to Dion is, buddy, I'd just shut up and let Shedeur go prove us right or prove us wrong. That's all I'd say. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hub City Spartan Burger text line 844-326-3663. A couple of texts that have come in so far. Texter said, Deion needs to just shut up. Nobody gives a crap. He needs to learn to work quietly and let the results show themselves.
Wait. Deion needs to work quietly?
Yeah, right.
I mean, do you
keep it a buck here. Deion ain't where Deion is if he works quietly.
Exactly. I mean, that's part of his deal.
So I don't have an issue. I will say
if Rob were quiet, would he have won three awards for being the best?
Probably because you make the... submissions.
You know, they're only as good as the product.
Okay, that's entirely true and fair.
Give yourself a little bit of credit.
The only thing that kind of got me about that take was how Deion kept saying, we had to prove ourselves, we had to do this, we earned that. And my thought was...
Did he not have to do all that? So he's saying his son also has to.
No.
You're trying to act like it's the we as an entity.
No. What I said was, when he said, we did this, we had to, not we have, or we are going to, or we in the future will accomplish. He said we had, as if Shador's already made it. And now, like, you can say Shador made it as a college quarterback, sure. But Shador is not a college quarterback anymore. And this is the one place I've said one of the reasons that I genuinely do appreciate the NFL, even if it is sometimes to the detriment of the league. I genuinely believe that professional sports, at least for those who play it, professional sports is like the last true meritocracy, right? Like the name on the back of your jersey really doesn't mean a damn thing as far as making it into and staying in the league. We have seen players who have great careers start to fall off at the end and just get thrown aside. Because if you're not helping us win actively today, it does not matter who you are.
Yeah, but it's like that in any career.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
No, it's not.
It absolutely is.
The emperor of idealism is very much appreciated normally. No, it's not. Out here in the real world,
you haven't seen radio people drop off and then they're gone.
Yes, no, I absolutely have. I also know that the phrase, it's not what you know, it's who you know, is 1,000% correct. I'm not in this building, this chair right now, despite the fact that, and I believe I can say this, I know as much about as many sports as anybody you're going to get to, and I will bust my ass. I don't get in this chair if I didn't know Mark Ryan personally.
Well, I worked my butt off to get where I'm at.
Sure.
You know what? I don't have any problem with you getting here because you knew someone.
No.
There are some people who do have a problem with
that. Not what you know, who
you
know.
But I, you know, if a connection helps you get something, awesome, but you still have to prove yourself once you get there.
I will even disagree with that in certain spots is where the boss's son's jokes come from over the years. But the point to me here is Shador ain't proved a damn thing in the NFL yet. Nothing at all. And I will tell you that even if Shador Sanders in the lead up to the draft was an absolute punk. Like let's say the reports are true and worse than that. That he was just a certified punk in the lead up to the draft. If a team looked at him and said certified punk, but he's a guaranteed rookie of the year. He's a guaranteed QB1 on opening day. Somebody takes him in the first round.
Yeah, there are no guaranteed rookies of the year.
I don't disagree. I'm saying hypothetically, if you looked at Shador and went, this dude is the best quarterback to come out of college football in 100 years, then somebody would have drafted the guy even if he was a punk.
All right, how is Shador Sanders successful in the NFL? What does he have to do? What is success for him? Where people will look and just leave it alone. Does he have to secure himself as a starter of the Cleveland Browns?
I mean, let's
Does
start
he
with
have
this.
To lead them to a winning season? Because you're going to find something no matter what.
Let's start with this. If you can't beat out 42-year-old Joe Flacco, another rookie Dylan Gabriel, and Kenny Pickett, if you can't beat those guys out for the QB1 spot, then the hype was too much. Is that unfair? I don't think it's so. You may not agree with it, but it's not unfair.
I think he is put in a position where it's going to be very difficult for him to do that. But if he does that, then it may shut up some people. I don't think so.
How would he be put into a position where that's difficult?
Because he was projected to go much higher, and he's put in a position where it looks like, we'll just draft him too. And he had, fair or unfair, he had a lot of eyes on him. Scrutinizing every little thing that he does, and got a reputation, whether it's fair or not. Again, we don't know the sources, so I guess we have to go with it. You get in now, so he's put in a position to fail. So that's why I'm asking, because he is put in a position to fail, which a lot of late rounders are put in a position to. You're fighting to make the team. What does he have to do? What does Shador Sanders have to do to be considered successful in the eyes of the media, I guess?
I would start with, I don't agree with the proposition he's put in a position to fail. In fact, I feel quite the opposite. I think he's put in a position to succeed. I think if he goes out and he beats a beloved vet in Flacco, a guy trying to have a career resurgence in Pickett, and another rookie in Dylan Gabriel, he's effectively just beat all three archetypes of the quarterback.
By the way, that's if it is a fair competition.
Sure.
And we don't know because we're not.
I don't disagree, but here's what I will say. There's no world, none, especially when you're in a position the Browns are in. There's no world where a head coach says, that guy gives me the best chance to win, but I'm going to sit him in the back seat because I don't want to play
him. Have you seen the Cleveland Browns before? Because you sound like you've never seen
yes,
the Cleveland Browns
the
before.
The team that all traded for Deshaun Watson.
Right. All they do is...
If there was a definition
that's
of...
That's the point.
That
they,
guy shouldn't be on the field because he sucks.
All they do is make bad decisions.
I understand.
So you're counting on them to make a good decision.
No. Okay, hang on. Getting Deshaun Watson was a bad decision. But it wasn't because Deshaun's a bad football player. It was because all the bull crap off to the side Deshaun got into that made him a bad person. And it made a franchise whatever you want to call it.
All right, take all that stuff away. Well, I guess he would have played a little bit more, but chances are he gets hurt like he did. He's gotten hurt twice now, right?
Yep, so two Achilles tears.
So if you put all that aside, it was a bad move bringing him in because he appears to be injury prone. And there's no way you can know that.
If Deshaun Watson was a standout, stellar human being, zero problem with the trade to get him. None. If he was a great guy, zero problem. Because the injuries happened after he got to Cleveland. He wasn't hurt in Houston. I mean, he was hurt and dinged up in Houston, but it wasn't like multiple Achilles tears. If Deshaun was
If I recall, I think he also got hurt at Clemson.
Maybe so. But as far as the NFL version, if Deshaun Watson's a stellar dude, the trade to go get him out of Houston for Cleveland is a great move. Whether or not it pans out, it's a great move. Now, people would what a terrible move if he stank. But he didn't stink. Assuming he didn't stink in the hypothetical, if he was a stellar dude, it was a great move. The problem with Cleveland going to get Deshaun wasn't because it was a bad move personnel on the field-wise. It was because of all the baggage that came along with Deshaun. And yet, even with all that baggage, Deshaun Watson showed up and was QB1 on the day he got there, right? So the Browns have, just via their last starting quarterback, the Browns have already shown you that they are not super concerned about the baggage or the image of a QB, because I promise you, no matter what you think of Shador,
or running an actual NFL franchise, they've shown us a lot of things.
I would argue that that is a different set of topics from the one we're talking about.
Yeah,
the one
it factors into treatment. If you have a history of not being good at a lot of things, and you bring someone in, any other team, I would think he would have a fair shot.
Wait, time out. Cleveland, hang on. No. You're missing my point here. The point here is, I think he's going to get a more fair shot with Cleveland than he would anywhere else, because Cleveland has shown that they don't give a damn about baggage with a quarterback. If they think you're the best quarterback, they're going to play you. They don't care if you got 11 lawsuits for sexual assault going on. So I think the baggage coming with Shador is way less harmful to the franchise than the baggage with Deshaun.
I get all that, but I'm just not sure that they know what a good quarterback is. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, maybe not, but at the same time, I don't think, again, that there is a coach out there that's going to look at a room of quarterbacks and say, A, we're going to pick the crappier quarterback, or B, we're going to go get the quarterback. We're going to play the quarterback who we don't think is the best because we're the Browns. Like, that's not a reality. We can argue all day. We can agree all day that the Browns are a trash run franchise. I agree with that. But I will say, over the past couple of years, that while going and getting quarterbacks hasn't worked well, ordinarily they're willing to go with the best quarterback. That's why they played Joe Flacco for as long as they did. He was the best quarterback on the roster at the time.
Baker Mayfield. They were winning with Baker Mayfield.
I don't disagree. And they let their egos get the best of them, much as they accuse Baker of allowing to happen. The point to all of this is, Shador Sanders can at least silence this in the offseason by winning the starting quarterback job. Prove that you are better than aged veteran, you are better than another rookie, and you are better than borderline guy trying to have a career renaissance. If you beat out all three archetypes of the quarterback in one competition, then a lot of the doubt goes away until we get to the regular season, if not. But I'll say this. Deion, you're not helping Shador at all, my guy. You're not helping him at all. In fact, we have not mentioned Shador Sanders in 4 weeks, and now we have to do it again. And it ain't in a positive light. If you just said nothing, let us get to camp and let Shador go earn the QB1 spot. The next time we talk about Shador is, hey, he beat out Kenny Pickett. That's pretty good. That's a good start for a rook. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. 844-326-3663 is the number. Buddy. The conversation that we have been having over the last week and a half or so, generated, of course, by the SEC spring meetings last week in Destin, Florida, where Commissioner Greg Sankey said that the coaches of the Southeastern Conference are all largely on board and together with a 5+11 model, that is the five highest rated conference champions plus 11 at-large teams. For the record, I'm also on board with that. I would like to see that be the way that it plays out. The conversation that we have not had, however, and largely it's because we know where they stand already, or at least one half of them. The conversation is, where are the ACC and the Big 12 in all this? Where are the next two most powerful conferences? You've got the SEC, the Big Ten on Tier A, the ACC, Big 12 on Tier B, everybody else in Tier C. I'd say Notre Dame in Tier B as well. The conversation...
They wouldn't say that, though.
No, they would not. They would tell you that they are A, the SEC, and Big Ten are B, and everybody else should not exist. So, where do we go from here? There was a interesting take, I thought, from Joel Klatt, where he was talking about the best models for everybody else, the best models for those conferences. On his show, Joel Klatt set up with the 5+11 model conversation, how he thinks a better 16-team field for the sake of the ACC and the Big 12 might work. Klatt broke down a model of the CFP that he said he likes and he thinks would be the best for those conferences. And it is one that involves the best 2.5 seeds each meant for the ACC and the Big 12. Basically set it up this way. He set up a system where the SEC and the Big 10 would get four spots. There would be two at-large spots with another for the mid-major representative. And for the remaining five spots, the ACC and Big 10 would split them, and Big 12 would split them in some respect. And basically what he said was that you would have those spots dependent on the resumes or the on-field results between the two leagues and how they play, who they play, when they play. Klatt said, quote, "If they wanted to argue for anything, if they wanted to earn it on the field, they should be arguing for the two model and maybe even a 2.5 model. Now, what would that look like? That would be wild. Let me kind of discuss a 2.5 model for the Big 12 and ACC. If you wanted to earn it on the field, if you want to take it out of the boardroom and you want the 16-team playoff, then let's go 4-4, 2.5, 2.5 for the ACC and Big 12, and then one for the group of five, and then two at-large spots for Notre Dame and a second at-large team. How do you do 2.5? That sounds crazy. Well, you actually do it quite easily by pitting, let's just say, the fourth or fifth place team in each of the ACC and the Big 12 against each other. Maybe your play-in weekend is just going against each other, and you're going to have five spots total, and three of them are going to the ACC and two to the Big 12, or any given year, depending on how those matchups go on the field. You would get three or two. So you would have 2.5 spots. So basically you're saying, hey, between the ACC and the Big 12, we're going to split five at-large spots. So that's how you get to 2.5. In that case, you would be guaranteeing yourself at minimum two spots every year and the potential for a third versus arguing for a model that you would only in most years get one." End quote. Start with, because I feel like I have to sometimes, because I'm just a nice guy. I don't agree with Joel Klatt's proposition for a number of different reasons here. I would start with this. Once again, why the model that just gives half the field to two conferences? We've hit that a lot of times. I've leaned on that a lot of times. Why a model where half of the field just goes to two conferences and everybody else fights for the other half of the field? Now, I acknowledge and argue that more than likely, the SEC and Big Ten will probably earn half of the spots anyway. However, do you know what the difference is? They will
earn
half of the spots, not just be given half of the spots. There is a difference. So, I don't know why would I get on board with that? Why would I get on board from the foundation of Klatt's take here? Why would I just get on board with a with two conferences just being given half the spots instead of earning them? Now, Klatt goes on to say in that last couple of sentences there, in that case, you would be guaranteeing yourself at a minimum two spots every year and get the potential for a third versus arguing for a model that you would only, in most years, get one. Why is that? Because if it's an 11 at-large team field, I think the ACC would have had two last year. I think Clemson and SMU both would have gone. I think it's very possible the Big 12 would have had two last year. I think more often than not, those two conferences would get two. I think more often than not, if there are 11 available spots, that those two conferences would get two. And then I think occasionally, potentially,
maybe back in like 1995, but no.
I understand. But I am also going to say, we do not make a permanent forever model, in my opinion. We should not make a permanent forever model based on what's happened in the last 2, 3, 4 years. I think your permanent forever model should look at either A, the entirety of history of modern college football, or B, none of it at all. It shouldn't be, well, in the last 2 or 3 years, it's been this way. So let's base our permanent playoff model on the last couple of years. No.
It's new territory. The structure has changed as far as, you know, how many teams are in different places and all that kind of stuff. And when things change, you have to do things differently.
So two things. Number one, the first thing is, and you have used this where teams are and how many teams are where argument. I don't care. It does not matter if a conference has two teams or 29.
Why does your feelings have anything to do with it? I mean, you know.
Because your argument's bad. Mm-hmm. Well, this conference has more teams, so they should get
opinion.
No spots.
That's your opinion.
No. It's not.
It is. Well, it is your opinion.
No, it is my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely, it is.
The argument that more teams in conference means that conference should just get more spots, I disagree entirely. Why? There's no justifiable reason for that. It's just, that's how you feel.
Don't states with more population get more representation?
Yes and no. They do in the House. They don't in the Senate. What do? We came up with a system that says, yeah, we know Rhode Island is small. But that doesn't mean that they don't get a powerful voice in the direction of the country. But also, we got this other lower house where they do get more because they have more people. And also, I'm going to go ahead and say the... maybe part of the reason that whole system got set up with the fundamental population of the country at the time, maybe we don't want to really root our reasoning in their reasoning. You feel me, dog? We'll come back to that later. No, we won't. What am I talking about? So, I would argue against that in the first place. Second off, I would say, once again, I think everybody should start, regardless of the conference they're in, the city they're in, the state they're in, everyone should start at the beginning of the year with the same opportunity to get in. Five teams will have the opportunity to win their conference again at auto bid. Everybody else will have 11 seeds available for them at large. And everyone should have the same access to those 11 seeds.
So you believe with all your heart that the ADs and the people who are actually running things are going to go with the one that you don't want, even though the coaches have come out and said – it's the 5 and the 11.
Yes.
And so you just, I think you want them to choose the other thing.
The other thing being my thing?
No. They're already saying they're going to choose that, but you don't believe that the ADs and stuff will do that. The coaches, and those guys, you said many times, are saying that that's what they want.
Yeah. Tell me how much the coaches get to vote on this. Zero. None. Zero. Lonzo, you and me and Fat Boy and everybody down there could all go together and go to the boss and say, we think that every Friday should be free pizza day here at the radio. And it could be everybody in this building, but there ain't but two guys at the top that get to decide if that happens or not. Right? And they get the vote.
I disagree.
We could all be on board with free pizza day.
If the Rise guys say it should be, it would be. So
I mean, maybe so.
I mean, you know.
But the point is, they might still say yes to free pizza day. Boss, if you're listening, I'm in favor of free pizza day.
Yeah, I'm on board with that too.
They might all be, everybody in this building may be involved on board with free pizza day. But there ain't
We can speak on behalf of everyone upstairs and say that's a thing that should happen.
Everybody's on board with free pizza day. But at the end of the day, there's only one or two people who get a vote as to whether or not free pizza day happens. And if free pizza day required them to dig into their own wallet to provide it, they're going to vote no.
So here's the thing, though. So you're making it sound like that the ADs and presidents would not listen to their coaches. That's what you're making it sound like.
Yes!
Again, negative outlook, positive outlook. I believe that with all these coaches saying that's what they want, that's what they're going to get.
Realistic input, super duper happy, everything's amazing out in the real world input.
So you're saying nothing positive ever happens?
No. But what I'm saying is when there are tens of millions of dollars on the line, the people that have the most vested interest in tens of millions of dollars, they don't really look at it and go, well, our employees like this. Look at gestures broadly at every corporate franchise ever.
So when they adopt this thing that you don't think they're going to adopt, but they will, the thing that the coaches want, when they adopt this thing, the 5 and 11, are you going to say you were wrong?
No. I mean, yes, absolutely, and happily.
he just automatically say no to anything I ask.
For the record, I haven't officially said this is what they're going to do. It's just what I believe they're going to do.
It sure does.
But But
what's
but,
the difference?
But
this is what I believe. But so what you believe and what you officially say are two different things.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a difference between saying, I think this is going to happen, and this is what's going to happen.
No, think and believe are two different things.
Correct. I think that they will go with the model that best serves those that have the gold. The people in charge don't ordinarily do things that takes money out of their own pocket. That's just a rule of thumb. That's not to say there aren't exceptions to that rule.
It won't, though, because as I've said a couple times, probably more than that, it's going to end up with the same result. The best teams are going to be ranked, and those guys are going to make it in, and they're going to be in the Big Ten, and they're going to be in the SEC.
As there is a difference between think will happen and believe will happen, there is also a difference between earning something and being given something.
Just look at history. Just go back. The last 10 years.
Obfuscating the point.
Ooh.
There is a difference.
Here's what he brings in the big words because of
between
course, I don't understand.
Earning a thing and being given a thing. There are different things.
You understand the majority of the audience is on my level of education, so you're
then listen to me and I'll learn you something.
What?
All right?
Listen to me and I'll daggum learn you, boy.
There is a difference between earning and being given. If you earn something, you have put the performance down that you go, I am worthy of this prize.
Don't put my performance down.
And if you are given a thing, you have not done that. This is the argument I have, for instance, with more professional athletes getting into the broadcasting sphere. They are just given a microphone because they played football. They are given a mic as if that just makes you qualify to be a broadcaster versus somebody like me who's got 17 years of skin in the game.
Some of them are pretty good. Pat McAfee.
I'm not saying none of them are.
I'm just saying.
But wait a minute. Wait, time out. I'll even go one step further. I believe McAfee earned what he's been given.
Well, of course
he launched his own thing. He invested in himself. He learned how to be a
broadcaster.
He was
given the opportunity that he was given with Barstool because of who he was.
Right.
Because he played in the
league. No. He started his thing and then got picked up. He built that and then got picked up.
Pretty sure he went to Barstool first and then he did his thing.
What I am talking about is a guy like, I won't name him because I don't want to get in trouble.
Ooh.
But I've been on. I've been on the network for 4 years now.
Oh, here we go. Don't do that.
And during last football season, they said, hey, we're going to do an NFL show. And I said, I'd like to do that. And they said, okay, we'll consider you for that. And then they circled back around and said, oh, sorry, this guy just retired from the NFL and he's going to be our guy. 17 years. 4 years in the network. I wanted that gig. I didn't get it. Now, am I mad at that guy? Absolutely not. Take that job. Hell yeah. Am I mad at them? Absolutely not. Rob Brown's a freaking jabroni-ass nobody, and you've got a Super Bowl-winning NFL player to come talk NFL. Of course you hire that guy.
You nailed it down a little bit there by saying that.
He was given a mic, and I have, over 17 years, earned a mic.
So let's say I don't know who you're talking about. Are they any good?
Yeah, they were a very good player.
No, I meant on the mic.
They're okay, in my opinion. Respectfully, they're okay. They have a great supporting cast that makes them better. Which is part of what this industry is. The point of all of this is, lovingly and respectfully, because again, I'd have made the same decision if I was them. The point of all this is earned versus given. If I am the SEC, if I am the Big Ten, I want to be given because I've been given the whole time. If I'm the ACC and the Big 12, I just want a shot to earn it. I want a shot to earn it. We'll bring this up back later on in the show. Stick around. The Rob Brown Show starts up again after Lonzo Sports Flash.
Continue. I don't know if we start up again. So that's act like this is a different thing. Novak Djokovic won his 100th career French Open, second behind only Rafael Nadal with 6-2, 6-3, 6-2 win over Cam Nori. With the win, Djokovic makes his way into the quarterfinals at Roland Garros and has yet to give up a set in a tournament. That's pretty good. The Women's College World Series is set, and for the first time in a long time, it will not feature Oklahoma. The Sooners were taken down by the Red Raiders of Texas Tech 3-2 in the semifinals. Waiting for the Texas Tech are their in-state rivals, Texas, who knocked off Tennessee 2-0. The finals start Wednesday. 2026 College Football Hall of Fame finalists have been announced, including on the ballot are Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram from Alabama, Cam Newton of Auburn, and Robert Griffin III of Baylor. AP National Player of the Year Ndamukong Suh is also on the ballot, joined by Eric Bieniemy, Dez Bryant, Kijana Carter, and others.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.